7 December 1992. We'll continue our Dhamma talk about purification, not for purification of view. We dealt with the purification of morality, sila visuddhi, and the purification of mind, citta visuddhi, and some aspect of the purification of a view, ditti visuddhi. There are 7 kinds of purifications in the course of mindfulness meditation. You have to go through one after another, higher and higher. The first one is the purification of morality, sila visuddhi. Sometimes they translate it as purification of virtue. The second is the purification of a mind, citta visuddhi. The third is the purification of a view, ditti visuddhi. The fourth is a purification by overcoming doubt, kankha vitarana visuddhi. The fourth is purification of a knowing and seeing what is a path and what is a not path. Magga magga jnana dasana visuddhi. The fifth is purification of the practice, purification of knowing and seeing of the way of the practice. The seventh is purification of knowing and seeing or realization. Jnana dasana visuddhi. Purification of morality, virtue, sila visuddhi. The la sinje mu and Burmese. Purification of a mind, citta visuddhi. Sei sinje mu and Burmese. Purification of a view, ditti visuddhi. Adi amien ayuara sinje mu. Purification of overcoming by overcoming doubts. Kankha vitarana visuddhi. Yoma tandiya lumyoto apien sinje mu. And Burmese. purification of a knowing, seeing what is part or what's not. Magga magga jnana dasana visuddhi. Lama lama adi amyan sinche mu. In Burmese. Purification of knowing, seeing, and the practice or the way. Patipada jnana dasana visuddhi. Ati amyen ajin lansen sinche mu. Ajin lansen adi amyen sinche mu. In Burmese. The seventh purification of knowing and seeing or realization, jnana dasana visuddhi adi means sinche mu. All these, the seven kinds of purification, you have to go through in the course of your Upasana meditation. When you have covered all these seven kinds of purification, you have attained Magga Jnana, the first path knowledge, and Phala Jnana, fruition knowledge. That is enlightenment, the first stage of enlightenment. Since I would like you to realize that Vipassana meditator should not be content with some degree of a deep concentration and calmness, serenity, tranquility, peacefulness and happiness, because this calmness, serenity, tranquility, peacefulness and blissfulness, peacefulness and bliss can be attained through deep concentration. As long as the mind is deeply concentrated on any single object of meditation, then the mind becomes calm, tranquil, serene, and peaceful. But when the concentration is broken, all serenity, tranquility, and so on has disappeared. When you are not content with this deep concentration, calmness and tranquility, and proceed with your Upasana meditation intensively and strenuously, then you are sure to realize bodily and mental phenomena as they really are. That is a Vipassana jnana, insight knowledge that penetrates into the true nature of a mental and physical phenomena. After you have realized the true nature of a mental and physical phenomena as they really are, then you do not react to any mental or physical process which is observed very attentively. So in that stage of experience, your mind becomes calm, tranquil, and peaceful. Every time or every moment you are realizing this mental and physical phenomena in their true nature, very clearly and thoroughly, your mind becomes a calm, tranquil, and serene. But what is the difference between calmness, serenity, and tranquility you have attained through just deep concentration, and that you have attained through realization of bodily and mental process? When you have attained calmness, tranquility, and serenity, you have attained through realization of a bodily and mental process, you haven't lost this tranquility and calmness and peacefulness, even though you are not engaged in mindfulness and meditation, say, at home. Because when you reflect your experience of these mental states, tranquility and calmness and serenity, you have had in the course of your meditation, then the quality of the mind, that's a serenity and tranquility, becomes manifested and you are mind as if you are experiencing it now through your realization of mental and physical phenomena. So even at home or at work, if you can reflect your experience of this best, the good qualities of Vipassana meditation, then you have it and you enjoy it, you have the tranquility and serenity. So this is one of differences Vipassana meditation, the result of Vipassana meditation and Samatha meditation. That's why I said you should not be content with deep concentration and as a result tranquility, serenity, and peacefulness. You should proceed with your meditation so that you can attain the higher stages of insight knowledge one after another, until you have attained the enlightenment or the birth knowledge and fruition knowledge, so that you have more valuable benefits out of your mindfulness meditation. That's why I proceed with my explanation of purification of a view. The day before yesterday, and also yesterday too, I explained to you the purification of my citta visuddhi. When meditator's mind is concentrated to a certain period of time very deeply, then his mind is purified from hindrances or mental defilement for that period of time, or for as long as his mind is deeply concentrated on the object of meditation which is observed. So the mind is purified from mental defilements and hindrances. You attain the purification of my citta visuddhi. And Dhamma Nupasana Satipatthana, in the discourse of Mahasatipatthana Sutra, the Buddhas classified the chapters into many chapters of the Dhamma Nupasana Satipatthana. There, one of the chapters is contemplation of hindrances, five hindrances. What are the five kinds of hindrances? You remember, I think? Sensual desire, not sexual desire, sensual desire, and then sloth, tapa, and then ill will, and then restlessness, remorse, and then skeptical doubt. Yes. The proper order of these 500 is, first of all, sense desire, then ill will, then sloth and tapa, then restlessness and remorse, then skeptical doubt. Kamachanda Nivarana, first of all. Vyapada Nivarana, the second. Tinamida Nivarana, the third. Uddajya Kukujya Nivarana, the fourth. Vijikicca Nivarana, the fifth, the skeptical doubt. If you have in your mind any of these hindrances, the mind is defiled, so it cannot be concentrated on any object of meditation. Only you haven't had any of these mental defilements in your mind, then the mind is purified. There you got purification of a mind. When only the mind is concentrated to a certain extent and purified from hindrances. There arises the insight that penetrates into the true nature of mental and physical phenomena. In the end of true nature, that is vipassana jnana. It means vipassana jnana begins to arise from the time you have attained the purification of mind, citta, visuddhi. In another word, so long as your mind is not yet concentrated on object of meditation, which is observed, you are unable to attain any of insight knowledge that penetrates into the true nature of a body, the body mind process. If you attained purification of a mind, some degree of a deep concentration, then the inside knowledge that arises together, the deep concentration becomes penetrating and sharp. So it begins to realize physical process and the mental process in their true nature. As I explained to you yesterday, when you are aware of lifting movements, pushing movement, foot dropping movement, touching movement, touching sensation and pressing movement in the walking meditation, when your mindfulness is clear, energetic and attentive, the mind becomes gradually concentrated on the movement of the foot, one after another, the movement of lifting, the movement of pushing, the movement of dropping, the touching and the movement of pressing. Then, when the mind is constantly concentrated on the movement of the foot, say for about 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 20 minutes, at that moment, when you have attained that degree of a deep concentration, you come to realize the lifting movement of the foot, physical process, and the note mind that knows it, that's a mental process. You come to realize or differentiate between the object and subject. The object, physical process, the movement of lifting, pushing, dropping, touching and pressing. Mental process that knows the object, that's the movement of the lifting, the foot. Before your concentration is not good enough, you are not able to realize in that way. What you are knowing at the moment is, I lift my foot, I note it. I push it forward, I note it. I drop it down, I note it. The foot touches the ground, my foot touches the ground, I watch it. I'm pressed to foot, then I observe it. In this way, the object, the movement of the foot, lifting movement, pushing movement, is also taken to be a person, a being, a nine or a you. In the same way, the noting mind is also taken to be a person, a being, a nine or a you. So you cannot remove the idea of a personality, individuality at that moment because your concentration is not yet good enough. You can't differentiate between separate process of the two mental and physical phenomena. When the concentration becomes deep, you come to realize, differentiate between the lifting movement of the foot, the object, and the noting mind, which is a mental process, the subject. If your insight that realizes in this way becomes more and more clearly, more and more clear and penetrating, you lost the sense of your foot. Sometimes you lost the sense of your bodily form while you are walking. Then what you are realizing at that moment is there's the process of a movement, and there's the mind that notes it, a mental process. You are realizing dual process of mental phenomena and physical phenomena very clearly and very deeply. You are experiencing that. Then you do not identify the movement of the foot or the process of the movement with yourself or a person, a being. Then you do not identify the mind that notes it with yourself or person or being. It means the insight that penetrates into the true nature of a dual process of a mental and physical phenomena as they really are, removes the idea of a personality, individuality. So you have a right view of the nature of the two process of a nature, the two nature processes. You don't take natural process of a mental phenomena to be a person, a being. In the same way, you don't take natural process of the mind that notes it to be a person, a being. So your view is right, or your understanding is right, because you understand physical process and mental process as they really are. You don't take them to be a person, a being, and I know you. So your view or understanding is purified. is called the purification of a view. Because the view, the idea of a person, a being, has been destroyed by the insight that penetrates into nama and rupa, mental and physical phenomena. In the same way, when you see, when you are observing daily activities such as bending of the arms, stretching of the arms, lifting of it, and also putting down, and so on. When you stretch out the arms normally, not slowly, you can be aware of it generally and superficially. In the same way, when you bend the arms normally and steadily, not slowly, then you are aware of the bending of the arm lightly and superficially. Your awareness is not deep enough, not profound. So it takes you a very long time to realize the bending movement and the stretching movement of the earth separately and thoroughly. Because you do not slow down these movements. So you are noting mind is unable to concentrate on each movement of stretching and bending very deeply and then very closely. So your knowing of the movement of the arm is with the idea of a person, a being. I stretch out my arms, I bend my arms, I sit down on the seat, I rise up from the seat, I dress myself, I put my clothes on, I put my clothes on, and so on. When you slow down your actions and movements, say, when you stretch out the arms, you stretch it out very, very slowly, as much as possible. Then you should note stretching, 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 stretching. Now 4 or 5 times, at least 10 times, 15 or 20 times of a stretch of the arm. Then you have to slow down the stretching of the arm more and more. The more, the slower you do the action, the deeper concentration you have. Because your noted mind can concentrate on each movement of the stretching of the arm very clearly and closely. Then, when your concentration is deep enough to a certain period of time,
said about 3 minutes or 5 minutes, concentration becomes constantly deep on the movement of the arm. Then, first of all, you feel when your arms stretch out, bend, you feel as if it's something, it's a moving, not a hand, or not yours, it's a something. You can't identify it with any particular object or any particular person. But you feel something is bending and nearer to me and so on. Then, at that moment, you don't take the thing which is bent, or the thing which is moved nearer and nearer, you don't take it to be you or your hand, because you see it as something which is moved towards you. That is called Panchakhande Parado Pasati and Pali text and commentaries. It means that you see the five aggregates as something which is not connected with you, which not belongs to you. That is something, nothing connected with you. That's something which has nothing to do with you. Then that movement of a bending slowly approaching towards you is not identified with yourself, with the person or being. So it means that you are realizing one of the three characteristics of existence. That's anatta, no soul, no self, or selfless and impersonal nature of a physical process, that's the movement of a bending. There you have removed the idea of a person, a being, by realizing the movement of the bending movement of the hand as that is something which is moving towards you gradually. This is also called Ditti Visuddhi, purification of a view. You don't have the view of a personality or individuality as to the bending movement of the arm. So that view is purified. So it's a purification of a view, Ditti Visuddhi. Then again, when the deep concentration, when you observe the movement of the bending movement of the arm very slowly and closely, then you come to realize just movements, but the process of a movement without any substantial thing, substantial physical process, just the process of a movement is rightly understood as it is. So this process of bending movement is also not taken for a person, a being. And I know as you, then here also you haven't the view of a personality, individuality. It has been destroyed, then the view is purified. And so you see the purification of a view, ditti, visuddhi. That's why you need to slow down your actions and movements as much as possible, so that you can realize one movement after another arising and passing away, or a series of a broken movement of a bending and stretching. It's not very difficult if you take interest in it, or if you take it interesting, you try to put enough effort to watch your daily activities slowing down as much as possible, then you have it. But if you do not slow down these activities, as much as possible, if you take it unnecessary through your ignorance of the meditative experience, then you don't put enough effort to slow down these activities, then you are not able to realize them very thoroughly and closely. That's the cause of purification of a view, ditti, visuddhi. And this purification of view, you realize mental and physical process in two ways. The first one is you realize the specific individual characteristic of a physical process and mental process. The second way is you differentiate between mental process and physical process. If you are able to rightly understand any mental or physical process which is observed at the moment, either of these two ways, very deeply and thoroughly, then you are sure to purify your view by removing the idea of a person, a being, and I know as you. Purification of a view, then in the same way, when you are observing all the actions and movements which is involved in the act of taking food or eating, you can realize this movement and either of these two way of realization. That's why you need to slow down your actions and movements, so that you can realize, you can observe them very closely, and realize them in their true nature. I think you have a good knowledge of the Four Noble Truths. The first truth is the truth of suffering. The second is the truth of the cause of suffering. The third is the truth of the cessation of suffering. The fourth is the truth of the way leading to the cessation of suffering. In the first sermon of the Buddha, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutra, the discourse of the setting up of the wheel of Dhamma, the Buddha describes these Four Noble Truths and also three types of realization of it, realization of them. There, the Buddha said, the truth of suffering is the five aggregates of grasping. There's the aggregates of a physical process, aggregates of perception, aggregates of feeling, aggregates of mental formations, and lastly, aggregates of consciousness. When we divide these five aggregates into two, the first group is a physical phenomena. The second, the third, the fourth, and the third, the fourth, and the fifth are mental phenomena, mental process. So we can say physical process and mental process is the truth of suffering, in accordance with the discourse of Dhammacakkappavattana Sutra. Then any mental process or any physical process, it is the truth of suffering. It's a dukkha suffering. Mental process is also dukkha suffering. Physical process is also dukkha suffering. Why? Because they never last very long, or they are not permanent, subject to impermanence. So they are dukkha suffering. But normally we are not able to realize these physical process and mental process as a dukkha or suffering. So we take this dual process of a mental and physical phenomena to be a person, be a nine or a you, and so on. So the Buddha said, this truth of dukkha, mental process and physical process, must be thoroughly and completely realized in their true nature. Because if you do not realize this suffering as it really is, you take it not suffering or happiness, enjoyable, pleasurable, and so on, then you take them to be a person, a being, a nine or you, and so on. Then there arises mental defilements such as a desire, craving, attachment, ill will, anger, aversion, conceit, jealousy and so on, dependent on the idea of a personal being, and I know you, they are the causes of the suffering that you suffer. When you have thoroughly and completely realized this truth of suffering, mental and physical phenomena, as they really are, you don't take them to be happy, enjoyable, and pleasurable, pleasant things. You don't take them to be a person, a being, because you know this dual process of mental and physical phenomena is a dukkha, suffering, in any way. That's why the Buddha said, the truth of suffering, mental and physical phenomena, is to be thoroughly realized. So it's called a prajñāya in Pali. Prajñāya. Paimanchācā tiyāmi deyā. Yonenam dukkhadissa. Prajñāya. The Dhamma, that's mental and physical process, which must be thoroughly and completely realized by observing this dual process as they really are. That's why we need to realize any mental process or physical process as it really occurs. To realize and their true nature, we need some degree of the deep concentration. To attain some degree of the deep concentration, we need continuous and constant mindfulness and clear and powerful mindfulness. For a certain period of time, at least 10 minutes and 20 minutes, if we can have it for the whole day, it's better. So to attain continuous and constant mindfulness for a certain period of time, we need to be aware of whatever arises in our body and mind as it really occurs while walking, while sitting, while we are doing daily activities. Then we need to put enough effort in our practice or noting to be mindful of each actions and movements thoroughly, precisely, and very closely. If our effort is slackening, then our concentration becomes weak. Then we can't realize any mental or physical phenomenon in their true nature. If mental or physical phenomena is not rightly understood as it really is, then we will take them to be a person, a being, and I know you. Then that person is attached to his family and his property, his wealth. That I or that you are attached to his family, his property, and so on. Then attachment arises. that father has a desire to be a prime minister, to be a governor, to be a queen, a king or a queen. That desire arises dependent on the idea of personality, individuality. Then, when these mental defilements, such as a desire, craving, ill will, aversion, conceit, and jealousy arises, then we are suffer. That suffering arises depending on the idea of personality, individuality. This idea arises because you do not rightly understand body mind process, mental and physical process, as they really are. So to remove the idea of our personality, individuality, or to attain purification of a view, we should strive our best to be aware of any mental or physical process or whatever arises in our body and mind as it really occurs. This is a purification of a view, ditti visuddhi. When you proceed with your practice, then you come to realize the cause and effect or causal relation of a physical and mental phenomena. That is called paccaya prajñāna, insight knowledge that realizes the cause and effect of body mind process. When you can concentrate your mind, rising, falling movement of the abdomen easily and comfortably and concentratedly, then you come to realize because there is a rising movement, you note it. Because there's falling movement, you note it. When rising and falling movement becomes a fade and disappeared, you cannot note it. Presence of a rising movement, a rising movement, is because of the rise of a noting. In other words, because the movement arises, then the mind notes it. So the movement of rising movement is the cause, and the mind that notes it, the effect. When the noting, the movement of rising has disappeared, there's no mind that notes it. So absence of a rising movement is the cause of absence of the noting mind. The absence of a rising movement is the cause, the absence of a noting mind is the effect. In this way you come to realize the cause and effect of a mental and physical phenomena. Time's up. My Dhamma talks have not complete yet. May all of you realizing these mental and physical phenomena and their true nature and achieve your goal.